everybody. I see a lot of familiar faces today. I think I've seen almost every last one of you come in and get a copy of Fairy Tales at least once in the children's library here, which is good. So how many of you guys know the story of Hansel and Gretel? Yeah? What about Rumpelstiltskin? Yeah? Snow White? Snow White and Rose Red? Oh, wow, you guys are doing good. All right, so all these fairy tales were made famous by these two brothers called Jakob and Wilhelm Grimm. So they're kind of nice, right? They're full of cotton candy and candy houses and fluffy clouds and things like that. Yeah, I think they're kind of nice too. Except the thing is, what a lot of people don't know is that Jakob and Wilhelm actually wrote the stories very differently from how they're told today. And Mr. Adam Gibbons here read all of the real stories, and he wrote some of these stories into his book, A Tale of Dark and Grim, and he's here to tell us a little about it today. So let's give him a warm welcome.
Thank you. All right. I know you're all very comfortable in your big chairs, but I can't possibly talk to you while the kids are sitting around the edges of the hallways because I'm going to get a crick in my neck. So I'm going to ask you to come and sit in front of me on the floor. That would help me out. Ross, you can hang out with your mom back there. That's okay. All right. Better. Much better. So, will you come in? Wait, I didn't learn all of your names yet. I learned some of them. Amelia, Jane, Elizabeth. Don't tell me. I'm going to get it in a second. When I come back to you. Tell me your name, buddy.
Aiden.
Aiden. What grade are you in?
Fourth.
Where do you go to school?
PS6.
Okay, cool. Somebody else goes to PS6. Amelia.
Her sister's in the class.
Okay, cool. Remind me of your name.
Suzanne.
Suzanne. Okay, now I'll get it. Tell me your name.
Catherine.
And again, you're in fourth grade. What school?
Nightingale.
Nightingale, right. And tell me your name again.
Kai.
Kai. Catherine and Kai. Kai, will you move a little closer? Kai, you're in sixth grade, right?
Yes.
Okay. At Chapin. Spence. So, as you know, the book is called A Tale, Dark and Grim. Now, a tale is a story, right? And when I say the story is dark, I don't mean that the lights are out, obviously, right? What do I mean when I say the tale is dark, do you think? Like, Amelia.
Well, you're using that word, and you mean, like, dark.
Good. Yeah, right. Evil, hatred, what else could it mean? Dark. The story is dark. What do you think?
Bad.
Yeah, right. Not good things happen. Absolutely. And grim. The word grim has got two meanings. It's a pun in the title. And Anastasia talked about one of the meanings of it. What's one of the meanings? Yeah.
The last name of the brothers who wrote this terrible story.
Exactly. The last name of these two brothers, Grimm. And they did. They traveled around Germany, and they didn't actually... Here's my collection of Grimm fairy tales. I've had this since I was a kid. And the brothers Grimm, they didn't write the stories. They collected them. They went around asking people to tell them the best stories that they knew, stories that they told to their kids, or they told to each other around fireplaces. But they didn't make them up. And they liked asking... for stories, and you know a lot of these stories, right? Little Red Riding Hood, raise your hand if you've heard of Little Red Riding Hood. Everybody, okay. Raise your hand if you've heard of Cinderella. Hands down. Raise your hand if you've heard of Rapunzel. Hands down. Raise your hand if you've heard of Rumpelstiltskin. Hands down. Raise your hand if you've heard of The Frog Prince. Hands down. Okay, so you've heard of a lot of Grimm's fairy tales. And they collected them from moms, and they collected them from dads, but they really liked collecting them from nannies and babysitters. This is true. And the reason is, moms and dads like to be kind of careful with their children, right? Like, they don't want to scare or upset them too much. Whereas nannies and babysitters are perfectly happy to scare the bejesus out of their kids if they possibly can. In fact, generally speaking, nannies and babysitters like nothing better than scare the bejesus out of their children. And so, Grimm Brothers liked those kinds of stories, which brings me to the other meaning of the word Grimm. The other meaning of the word grim has one M when you write it out. Has anyone ever seen the word grim written out like this before? Elizabeth.
I'm not sure where I've seen it, but I've definitely seen it a lot
of them. Okay. And who has an idea of what it might mean? Susanna?
Grim, it's like kind of solemn and sad.
Good. If you have a grim outlook on life, you think nothing good is ever going to happen to you ever again. It can also mean dark, scary, upsetting, gruesome. which is strange, right? Because Little Red Riding Hood is not grim. Oops, is not grim at all, right? It's cute and sweet and boring, right? Right? And all the other fairy tales that I talked about, Cinderella, Snow White, these stories are cute and sweet and for little kids, right? Wrong. The real Grimm fairy tales are not cute and sweet and boring at all. And to prove it to you, I'm going to tell you one. It's called Cinderella, and it's in this book. And you all have heard it, right?
Yes.
Or so you think. So, it starts, the Grimm Cinderella starts very similar to the one that you know. There's a girl named Cinderella, or in German her name is Aschenputtel, which means Cinderella. And she lives with her two cruel stepsisters and evil stepmother. And every day she's made to scrub the floors and clean the toilets, take out the trash, and never is she allowed to go out and see friends or do anything that she wants to do. Well, one day, a invitation arrives from the prince, right? He's going to have a ball, and he's inviting everyone to come because he wants to find someone to marry, right? He's going to dance with all the women of the kingdom at the ball. And the one that he falls in love with, he likes the best, he's going to marry, right? Everyone familiar with the story so far?
Yes.
Okay. So, the stepsisters are so excited. They cannot wait to go because they are pretty certain that they're going to get to marry the prince. Cinderella also wants to go, but she can't go because she doesn't have something. What doesn't she have? Jane.
Clothes,
right. Well, she has clothes, but not clothes that are appropriate for a ball, right? She's not naked Cinderella, but she's got no nice clothes. So, the stepsisters go, but she gets clothes, right? She gets a dress and slippers. Who gives them to her? Where does she get them? Ross?
I forgot.
Okay. You're right. The fairy godmother, right. In most versions of Grimm fairy tales, of Cinderella, there is a fairy godmother who gives her a dress and slippers, right? And usually the fairy godmother is like kind of chubby with like a purple dress and little wings and goes bibi bibi boo, right? She's very cute. In the Grimm version of Cinderella, there is no fairy godmother. In the Grimm version of Cinderella, every day Cinderella or Aschenputtel goes to the grave of her real mother, and she weeps on the grave. And as she weeps on the grave, the tears moisten the soil, and a tree sprouts from the grave, and a hazel tree, grows up out of the grave. And so, after the two stepsisters go off to the ball, Cinderella goes to the grave of her real mother. She cries, and she asks for a dress and slippers, and the tree on the grave throws down a dress and slippers for Cinderella. Which leads to a very interesting question. Where does a tree get a dress and slippers? The answer is, I have no idea. It just hasn't, okay? So get over it. So, she gets the dress, she gets the slippers, and she goes to the ball. And the first night she dances with the prince, has to run away before midnight, and he chases her, but he can't find where she goes. Second night, again, dances with the prince, chases her, she gets away. Third night, she dances with the prince, runs away before midnight, but as she runs away, the prince, clever prince, he onto the steps of the palace, he smears tar, or pitch, which is the sticky black stuff that we use to make our roads. And as she's running away from him, her foot sticks on the step, and she keeps going, but the shoe sticks to the steps, right? Clever. So he picks it up and he says, ha-ha, whoever's foot fits in this shoe will be my bride. And what is the shoe made out of?
Glass.
No. In most versions, it's made of glass, but in the Grimm version, it's made of gold. So the prince takes the beautiful little golden shoe to the house, to all the houses, and pretty soon he comes to the house of the stepsisters and Cinderella. And he says, whoever's foot fits in this shoe will be my bride. Well, the stepsisters are thrilled because they have perfect, beautiful feet. You see, in a lot of versions of Cinderella, the stepsisters are ugly, right? Like, one's like skinny like a chicken bone, the other one's fat like a kettle, neither one's particularly attractive, right? But in the Grimm version, they are beautiful. Very, very beautiful. Maybe even more beautiful than Cinderella. And they have perfect, beautiful little feet. So the oldest stepsister flips her long golden hair and says, oh, let me try, let me try. And she goes and she gets the shoe from the prince. And she goes into the back room. And the stepmother follows her back. Now remember when I told you that I was going to talk about things that were, some of you weren't here when I said this, kind of gross or upsetting. Grimm means gross and upsetting. It's coming. If I start to talk about something and you don't want to hear it, If you think, oh, this part is like actually grossing me out or upsetting me or scaring me, this is what I want you to do. Elizabeth, I'm talking to you. Everybody, take your fingers, stick them in your ears, and look down in your lap. I'm not kidding. Every talk I have ever given, and I've given a lot of talks at this point, kids do this. So I won't be offended. If I talk about something you don't want to hear, that's what you're supposed to do. You got it? Do you understand? Okay. Agreed? Okay. So the stepsister says, oh, let me try. She flips her long golden hair, she takes the golden shoe, she goes into the back room, and her stepmother follows her back, and she slides her perfect, beautiful foot into the golden slipper. And it fits perfectly. Almost. You see, her big toe is too big. She can't get it in the shoe. She tries it. She tries, and she can't get it to fit in the golden slipper. So the stepmother, takes out a knife and says, cut off your big toe. When you're queen, you won't have to walk anymore. Which is true, right? She's going to be queen. People will carry her everywhere if she tells them to. So she takes the knife, cuts off her big toe, shoves her foot into the golden shoe, grits her teeth against the pain, and goes out to see the prince. Now, I like to picture what she looked like when she did this. Because she wants to marry this guy, right? She wants to impress him. So she's got a smile. But she has just cut off her toe and shoved it into a golden shoe, which probably hurts a lot. Am I right? So I like to picture like what her face was like as she's trying to smile while she's gritting her teeth in unbearable pain at the same time. That's a pretty good one, Susanna. Anyone else want to try to grit your teeth in unbearable pain and smile at the same time? Yeah, this is good. Good. Yeah, that's good. I got to do it like this, like. So she goes out like, she goes, she's limping, right? And she goes, it fits! And the prince says, my true bride! And he picks her up, carries her out of the house, puts her on his horse, and they ride away together. But they hadn't gone very far when they passed the cemetery with the hazel tree on Cinderella's mother's grave, right? And as they pass the cemetery, up in the hazel tree are sitting two doves. And as they pass by, the two doves call out, coo, coo. There's blood in the shoe. The foot's too long. The foot's too wide. This is not the proper bride. Well, the prince pulls up his horse and stops and listens to what the birds are saying. And he turns and looks back at the stepsister. He listens to what birds are saying because when birds talk to you, you should always listen because they're birds. So he looks back at the stepsister and looks down her beautiful frame and looks down at the golden shoe. And indeed, he sees blood burbling out of the golden slipper. And he goes, this isn't the right girl. He's smart. Remember I told you he was a clever prince? He figured that out. He takes the horse, turns it around, rides back to the house and says, this is not the right girl. Do you have another daughter? Well, they do have another daughter. And the second stepsister, who's just as cruel and beautiful as the first, flips her auburn hair and says, oh, let me try. And she goes and takes the golden shoe. And she goes into the back room and her stepmother follows her back. The stepmother. And she slides her perfect, beautiful foot into the golden shoe and it fits perfectly. Almost. You see, her heel is too big. So the stepmother takes out a knife and says, cut off the chunk of your heel. When you're queen, you won't have to walk anymore. Chunk is not a nice word. So she takes the knife, cuts off a chunk of her heel, shoves her foot into the shoe, grits her teeth against the pain, and goes out to see the prince like this. She goes, it fits! And the prince says, my true bride! And he lifts her up, carries her outside, throws her on his horse, and they ride away together. But they haven't gone very far when they pass the cemetery with the grave and the hazel tree. And the two doves are up in the hazel tree, and the two doves call out, coo, coo, there's blood in the shoe. The foot's too long, the foot's too wide. This is not the proper bride. Well, the prince hears the birds, and again he stops his horse and looks back because, what did I say, if you hear birds talking, you gotta listen. So he looks back at the stepsister, down in beautiful frame, and indeed, he sees blood spurting out of the golden shoe, staining her dress all red. And he goes, this isn't the right girl either. Because he's a genius. So he takes the horse, turns it around, rides back to the house, and says, this is not the right girl. Do you have another girl? And they say, do you have another daughter? And they say, no, we don't. Well, we do, but she's too dirty to see. No, you can't see her. She wasn't at the ball anyway. Don't worry about it. But Cinderella comes out. She tries on the golden shoe, and it fits. And the prince says, my true bride. And he lifts her up, carries her outside, throws her on the horse. They ride away, and they all live happily ever after. Almost. And this is the part where it gets really bad. So if you were upset by the first part, you're really going to dislike this part. Get the fingers ready. So, everyone's getting ready. That's good. The prince and Cinderella the very next day are to be married. And the two stepsisters, looking beautiful with their golden and auburn hair and their cruel and shining eyes, come to the wedding. And they say, "Oh, Cinderella, our darling sister Cinderella, will you let us walk with you in your wedding?" Now look, these stepsisters have been so mean to Cinderella for her whole life. Why are they suddenly being nicer, do you think? Why now are they suddenly being nice, Elizabeth?
Probably to trick her into doing something bad.
Maybe so. Right. What does she have that they want? Yeah.
The prince.
The prince.
I'm guessing if they trick her, maybe they can like do something to get her unmarried.
Maybe so. Or worst case, I mean, or even just in the least case, she's going to be rich. She's going to be famous. These sisters want some of that, right? So, Cinderella's nice though. She says, "Yes, you can walk with me in the wedding." So she has her older sister walk on her right and her younger one walk on the left. Oh, wait, I forgot a part. I'm sorry, I gotta go back. When Cinderella and the prince are riding away together, they pass the cemetery with the grave and the tree and the two doves. And the two doves call out again. Did I tell you this? I forgot this part, right?
Yeah.
They call out, "Coo, coo, no blood in the shoe. The foot is neither long nor wide. This one is the proper bride." And they fly out of the tree, and they come and land on Cinderella's shoulders, one on her right, one on her left, and there they sit. Well, the next day, the wedding happens, and the two stepsisters come, and they say, "Can we walk with you in the wedding ceremony?" Cinderella says, "Yes." So the older one is walking on the right, the younger one is walking on the left. The two doves are still sitting on her shoulders. And as she walks into the chapel, the dove on Cinderella's right shoulder leans over and pecks out the left eye of the older stepsister. And the dove on her left shoulder leans over and pecks out the right eye of the younger stepsister. Well, Cinderella and the prince are married, and after the marriage, Cinderella turns around to walk out of the chapel. And so now the younger stepsister is walking on the right, and the older one is walking on the left. And so the doves lean over and peck out their two remaining eyes. And the last line of the grim version of Cinderella is, "And so the stepsisters were punished with blindness to the end of their days for being so wicked and false." The end. And that's the end of the real grim version of Cinderella.
That's pretty grim.
So, pretty grim, right? Everyone okay so far?
Yeah.
Not freaking out too much? I think that's a really interesting version of the story. There are a lot of things that I like about it. What are some of the differences between that one and the one that you've heard before? Jane? What's one thing that was different?
The stepsisters are ugly.
Yeah. The stepsisters are very beautiful in this version, right? I think that's very interesting. What's another difference? What's another thing that was different? Yeah, but...
The mom cuts off part of the foot of both of the stepsisters?
Yeah, yeah. Well, she gives them the knives, and they do it themselves.
Okay.
Yeah, even grosser. But yes. What's another difference? Yeah.
The birds talk to the prince.
Yeah, the birds are talking. What's another difference? Zana, do you have one?
Yes.
What?
People get hurt.
They do, badly. Yeah, Jane?
There's a cemetery.
There is. I like, well, two of the differences that I think are super interesting is the beauty of the sisters, and then what happens to the sisters at the end, right? These sisters are very beautiful and very vain. And what happens to them at the end? Do they die? No. In grim fairy tales, there are a lot of bad things that can happen to people. Sometimes people get, like, boiled in oil or get their heads chopped off. But that doesn't happen to the sisters. The sisters get their eyes pecked out by birds. Why does that make sense for the story, given some of the differences in this version? Why does it make sense for these two stepsisters have that punishment of having their eyes pecked out? I mean, a lot of things could happen to them, right? They could have their ears pecked off by the birds, or their cheeks, but it was their eyes. Why Why is that appropriate for these stepsisters? Yeah.
So they wouldn't, if they didn't see where Cinderella was, they couldn't find her, so they couldn't insult her.
That's true. They couldn't insult her anymore. And it's true. They can't see, right? Which is important to these sisters. Yeah, Jane? maybe they do. What's important to these stepsisters? Elizabeth?
Maybe.
Yeah, right?
So now they can't see each other in the mirror or something?
Yeah, or themselves in the mirror, right? They could. And if the thing that they care about most in the world is looking beautiful, which is true, right? And they want the prince because he's handsome and he's rich and he's famous. Now that they've had their eyes picked out by birds, they can't see that anymore. Right? The one thing that they cared about the most, the thing that they used to be so cruel to Cinderella with, they don't have anymore. So, sometimes people say that Grimm's fairy tales have morals or lessons. I don't think that they do. I don't think that the moral of Little Red Riding Hood is don't go into the forest or you will be eaten by a wolf. Or don't be vain and cruel or you will have your eyes pecked out by birds. Like, that's not the lesson of Cinderella. But I do think that sometimes they have justice. Or they take how we feel and then they make it into a story about like crazy and bloody things. So, that's this story. I didn't write that story. I wrote this story. And in this story, The Tale of Dark and Grim, what I did was I went through this big book of Grimm's fairy tales and I found some of the strangest, the darkest, funniest, the bloodiest fairy tales that I could find. And I wove them together into one story about two kids, a little boy named Hansel, a little girl named Gretel. And something quite frightening happens in the first chapter. And they have to run away from home into the forest of Grimm. And they go through all these different fairy tales. And it's a big adventure. And there's some funny parts and some very scary parts. And that's what the book's about. So. I'll read a little bit of the book to you, but not now, because I've been talking a lot. So I'll let you guys talk a little bit if you would like to. Which means if you have any questions about fairy tales or about the story I just told you, or about being a writer or being a reader or anything like that, how did you get to be a writer, how did the book come about, I would be happy to answer any questions. If you don't, I'll go ahead and maybe tell you like one or two stories about how the book came about, and then I'll read to you a little bit. But if you have a question, I'll let you talk now. Yes, sir. I've heard your name already.
Aiden.
Aiden, right.
I have a question about the book.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of fairy tales are in it, but the mixed up, the Grimm versions of the fairy tales, what fairy tales are in it?
Great question. So if you look at the table of contents, the first story is called Faithful Johannes, and that is a Grimm fairy tale that is indeed quite grim. And then there's a story called Hansel and Gretel. You've all heard of that one. I change it a fair amount for the book. Then there's a story called The Seven Swallows, which was originally called The Seven Ravens, and I change it just a bit. Then there's a story called Brother and Sister, which is one of the most terrifying chapters in the book, and that story I changed a lot. Then there's a story that I call A Smile as Red as Blood, which is the other most terrifying chapter in the book. And that, in this book, is actually called The Robber Bridegroom. So I changed the title, but I didn't change the story all that much. It really is a terrifying Grimm fairy tale. And then there's a story called The Three Golden Hairs, which is funny and scary. And then the last three chapters are not based on Grimm's fairy tales, but I invented them to create an ending for the story. So those are the stories in the book. Good questioning. Any other questions? You don't have to have one, but if you have one, throw your hand up. Let me just tell you how the book came about, real brief, and then I will read a little bit of the book to you. I'm a teacher at St. Anne's in Brooklyn, and I got a phone call from my school asking me if I would be willing to be a substitute librarian for a day. And I was like, yes, because librarian is about the coolest job that I can imagine. What you get to do is hang out with stories all day and share anyone you want to with a group of kids. That's like what I like to do. That's my favorite thing. So I was like, yes, I'm doing it. And they were like, great, you're going to read some stories to some second graders. You can read any story you want to read. And And I was like, great, no problem. And they said, choose any story you want. So I was at home, and I was looking around on my bookshelf, and I came to this book, Grimm's Fairy Tales. But I had never really read this book. I said, I had this book since I was a kid, but I had never actually opened it. So I was like, oh, fairy tales, well, they're perfect for second graders, right? So I open it up to a story called Faithful Johannes. And in this story, two children get their heads cut off by their parents. It's okay, they get put back on again, so it's fine. The heads get put back on and the kids are just fine. Don't worry about it. But it happens. And I read the story and I was like, whoa, that story is awesome. And I was like, can I read that story to second graders? Will I get fired? And then I thought, let's find out. So I brought it in and I read it to the group of second graders. And after reading it, I make a joke every once in a while to relieve the tension in the room, or I'd explain something confusing. I'd give them a warning when something really awful was about to happen. And at the end of the story, I finish the reading and I look up, and every kid has the same expression on his face. Every kid looks like this. I look up, I was like, oh boy. So the kids all get up and they go back to the classroom, and some of them are like crying. But a few of them come up to me and they were like, that was good. You should make that into a book. Which is how I got the idea for this book. So the first chapter of this book is Faithful Johannes. All right. So, what you need to know if you haven't read this chapter before is that there is a young king who has set off on a journey to win the golden princess. And he has set off on this journey with his faithful servant, Johannes. And Johannes has a bent back and bowed legs and a long nose that sniffs the air like this. Yeah, he's got a hunchback. And he's got 2 rotten teeth in his mouth and 1 good eye. He's a handsome guy. And Johannes has helped the king find and win the golden princess. And by win, I mean steal. He stole her, but it's fine. And so they fell in love really quick, and they are now riding back in a boat back to the land of Grimm, where the young king comes from. You with me so far? No, terribly confused. You okay, Ross? All right, if you need to close your eyes and just go to sleep, do it. Okay. As the ship plowed through the purple sea, the new lovers, the king, the young king and the golden princess, made moon faces at each other up near the bow. You guys know what moon faces are? A moon face is the face that you make when you're in love with somebody. And it looks something like this. Now, I know probably most of you guys are thinking, like, that's a ridiculous face, and I'm never going to make that face in my life. But you will. One day you'll fall in love with somebody, and you'll be staring at them like across a candlelit table, and you'll be like, and then you'll look in a window or mirror nearby, and you go, ah! Because you're making a moon face. It's just going to happen. You're going to do it. So, anyway. So they're making moon faces at each other. Faithful Johannes was up near the back of the ship, admiring the success of his plan, when he noticed 3 ravens land on a mast beam. The first raven motioned with his beak at the king and princess. What a lovely couple those two make, he said. And the second raven said, yes, too bad they won't stay that way. The first said, what do you mean? Well, the second replied, when the ship gets to land, a beautiful chestnut stallion will canter up to the group, and the king will decide to ride it back to the castle. But if he does, he will be thrown from its back and die. Good God, that's horrible, said the first raven. Is there nothing anyone can do? Oh, there is, said the second raven. Someone could kill the horse before the king mounts it. But what good is that? For if someone did it and told why he did it, he would be turned to stone from the tips of his toes to the knobs of his knees. To stone, asked the first raven. To stone, answered the second. The third raven, who had been listening quietly, cut in at this point. It gets worse, you know, he said. If by some chance the two lovers escape that danger, another lies ahead. For when they arrive at the gates of the castle, a beautiful bridal gown made of pure gold will be laid on a bed of
purple flowers. The princess will want to wear it, of course. But if she touches it, she will be consumed by a ball of fire and burned to a cinder right there on the spot. Good God, that's terrible! Cried the first raven. Is there nothing anyone can do? Oh, there is, said the third raven. If someone were to pick up the dress before she could and throw it in the fire, the princess would live. But what good is that? For if someone did it and told why he did it, he would be turned to stone from the knobs of his knees to the core of his heart. To stone, repeated the first raven. To stone, confirmed the third. Nor is that all, said the second raven morosely. For if the two lovers avoid that tragedy, a final one awaits. When they are married and begin the wedding dance, the new queen will swoon and fall to the floor and die. Good God, that's the worst thing yet! Cried the first raven. Is there nothing anyone can do? Oh, there is, said the third. If someone were to bite the new queen's lip and suck 3 drops of blood from it with his mouth, she would live. But what good is that? For if someone did it and told why he did it, he would be turned to stone from the core of his heart to the top of his head. To stone, said the first. To stone, replied the second. To stone, confirmed the third. And with that, the 3 ravens shook their black beaks, sighed sadly, and flew away. Faithful Johannes, remember the ugly servant? Faithful Johannes buried his head in his hands, for he had heard all. He knew what he would have to do, and that it could not come to good. Just as the ravens had foretold, if the ship landed, and the king and his wife-to-be had been greeted by all the servants and courtiers of the castle, a beautiful chestnut stallion cantered up to the group. The king, taken with the beast's beauty, announced it would bear him in triumph back to the castle. What happens if he gets on that horse? He dies. But before he could mount it, Johannes slipped onto its back, drew a blade, and cut the horse's throat, soaking its silken coat with warm red blood. It collapsed to the ground in a heap. Cries of shock went up from the crowd. The other servants, who had never loved misshapen Johannes, whispered to kill the king's new stallion? Treason! Treason! What's treason? Who knows what treason is? Susanna?
It's like being a traitor against the king.
Exactly. If you're a traitor against, you do something against your king, and there is only one punishment for treason. Does anyone know what that is? Death. Treason! They whispered. Treason! The king looked back and forth between Johannes and the dead horse. Johannes' face had no expression. At last, the young king said, Johannes was faithful to my father, and to my father's father, and to my father's father's father before that. If he does it, it must be right. Not another word was said about the subject, and the party proceeded on foot back to the palace. When they arrived at the gate, they saw a beautiful golden bridal gown lying on a bed of purple roses. Oh, I shall wear it in the wedding, the queen-to-be exclaimed. Running to take hold of the marvelous garment. What happens if she takes hold of the marvelous garment?
Maybe
be consumed by a ball of fire, right? Yeah. Before she could reach it, Johannes grabbed the dress from the flower bed and strode into the great hall, where he thrust it into the fire. Again, the party was taken with cries of shock and dismay. The servants huddled together and whispered, "Treason! Treason!" But the king hushed them. Johannes has always been faithful to me and my family, so I will be faithful to him. If he does it, it must be right. The young king and the golden princess were married the very next day. The princess looked particularly beautiful, her ocean blue eyes brimming with joy. But Johannes watched anxiously. They moved to dance and the music began. They had not taken 2 steps when the new queen suddenly swooned and fell to the ground. Before anyone else could move, Johannes swept in, lifted her to his chest, and carried her out of the hall. Remember what somebody has to do in order to save her? He hurried through empty hallways, carrying the new queen in his arms to a narrow, winding staircase that led to the highest turret in the castle, his private chamber. When he arrived, he placed her carefully on the floor, bent over her, and with his 2 rotten teeth, bit her lip until he drew blood. Then, ever so tenderly, the unhandsome man sucked 3 drops of blood from her lip with his mouth. The queen queen began to stir. Just then, the king burst into the room. He had followed Johannes all through the palace and watched at a crack in the door as Johannes, his once faithful Johannes, had done something unspeakable to his new queen. "Treason!" he bellowed at the top of his lungs. "Treason!" The other servants quickly ran to the king's aid. "King," Johannes said, "please, trust me." "Take him to the dungeons," the young king shouted. "Tomorrow, he dies." I don't know if you want to find out if Johannes dies or not. You'll have to read the book yourself. Okay. Well, that's about all I have to say to you. If you have more questions that you would like to ask, you should do that now. Parents are also allowed to ask questions. Otherwise, I think, you know, if you have a book that you would like me to sign, I'm really happy to sign it. Any other questions? Ross, how'd you do? You okay? You got a question? Your mom has a question.
She has a question. Yeah.
I do.
Ross, what's your mom's question?
What is it?
I'll come back to you. Aiden, what's your question, bud?
Have you written any other books?
Good question. I have written, sort of, I have written one other book that's complete. And it's about ancient Egypt. And it's an adventure story. But I wrote this book, and it was 400 pages long, and I gave it to an agent that I knew. And she read it, and she asked me for an interview. We came and I met with her about my book. 400 pages, adventure, going to be published. Couldn't wait. Sat down right in front of this agent, and she said, "It's not very good." And I was like, "What? It's 400 pages long. I quit my job for a year, worked on it for 2 years. All she could tell me was it's not very good." She said, "Well, if you want to start on a new project, I wouldn't blame you," which is adult code for throw it in the trash can. I was devastated. I was completely devastated. It was right. I had this meeting with her right before Thanksgiving, and I remember eating Thanksgiving, and nothing tasted good, and being like, "I have nothing to be thankful for. Nothing." I was so upset. But I didn't give up on the book, because I don't believe in giving up on things. So I kept working on it, and kept working on it, and kept working on it, and that was when I got that phone call from my school that I told you about, and they asked me to come in and tell that story to the second graders. And I did that, and I told the story to second graders, and I wrote up that story that I told them, and I sent it to the same agent. And she called me up, and she said, "Adam, this is pretty good." So that book never came out, but this book did instead of it. Now, there will be another Grimm book coming out, and I've almost finished that one. And it will come out in August, right before the next school year. And it will be called In a Glass, Grimly. And it won't have Hansel and Gretel in it. We'll have two different kids called Jack and Jill. And it will be about other fairy tales. And it will also be dark, also be scary, hopefully also be funny. And maybe you'll get it in all. Any other questions? Okay. If you would like a book, or if you have a book and you'd like me to sign it, I will sit at this big old table and sign your books.
We've got some books on sale over here if anyone wants to buy them. We can pay for them at the desk.
I think he
I
just wondering
how you. And they make great Christmas presents. Or Hanukkah. You want me to